Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
If you skip a bunch of scriptures and just find the ones you want, you can find lots of them and go, see, what I believe is true. You can take half the Bible and prove what you think is right. You just have to throw out the other half. So it's no problem to say, here's what I believe and here's all the scriptures to prove it. That's a dangerous way to try to prove something. What we need to do is let what we believe come from the scriptures, not let the scriptures validate what I have kind of come to believe. Because in there, you're going to have to do something they didn't do. And that is when a scripture goes against or challenges what you believe, you have to hold on a little looser to what you're holding on to. Maybe you're not completely right.
Though the Pharisees knew many scriptures and were pretty smart, they missed seeing that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They chose what they wanted to see, and in the end, it left them blind. In today's teaching, Pastor Troy will walk you through the importance of context. If you just pick the verses you want to read, you miss the whole story. Don't make the same mistake that the Pharisees did. Don't be so caught up in your own self that you miss Jesus, who's standing right in front of you. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Verse 36, Jesus goes on, "But I have a greater witness than John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Yeah, this work that you've overlooked because it was on the Sabbath, following your rules, says, these works testify. So another reason we should believe, because of what Jesus has done, what Jesus has done. Remember what Jesus did before this conversation. He had healed a man at the pool of Bethesda, who had been diseased for 38 years. This isn't like a guy who had a cold and Jesus said, I heal you, and a week later he was well. 38 years, this was diagnosed, this was his state of life. This is who he is, this isn't going away. And Jesus heals him in a moment. This was a miracle. Jesus performed a miracle. So it was a miraculous work that drew their attention. The problem for them was that it took place on the Sabbath. This was a little thing, a little quirk about them. This was their philosophy of life. This is the way they ran things. They took God's word and they began to apply it to themselves and apply it their way and interpret their own way. And they started to put their own priorities together and they came up with their own version of what God had said. And because of that, they missed God. So the miracle gave them something undeniable to believe, but because of their own interpretations, their own philosophy, their own block, mental block, they missed the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. They wouldn't listen because they had their own way of looking at things. Now, you can't blame them for not jumping on this just because Jesus had done a miracle, because even Deuteronomy, their own scriptures, said that even if a prophet rises among you and performs a sign, you still need to examine his message. Just someone does some miracles, don't just believe him because of that. That's not enough either. They have to have substance. What's the message? And if that message draws you away from God, if that message causes you to pull away from the Lord or believe something else that goes against what God has said about himself, then you deny that man. In fact, that scripture says you should stone them. Get rid of that prophet, because that's a pretty bold prophet to come and think that he's going to woo you and wow you and win you with miracles when he's a deceiver, when he's lying himself or lost. So, the next test for Jesus is, what is he saying? What's his message? Okay, there's a miracle. What's he doing? This is where their philosophy failed them. See, they had prioritized Sabbath. No work on the Sabbath, nothing. But Jesus already convinced them, hey, even the Father continues to work every single day. This isn't about not working. This is about not trying to continue to get ahead. to work for us, work for ourselves. But even the Father sustains things. This is about honoring Him, glorying Him, resting in Him, and not working your work. And so Jesus said, that's why I do only what the Father says. But in everything Jesus did and said, Jesus never once denied the Father or tried to change anything God had said. All Jesus did was what the Father said. And so they saw Him and His boldness and said, you make yourself out to be equal with God. Like what you say matters more than what God says. And Jesus was like, no, really what you're seeing is God. I'm not defying and I'm not denying. I'm revealing who God is. That's the difference. So they should be able to look at Jesus, what He's done, and they should have been able to recognize Him. But because of their own interpretations of the Scriptures, they couldn't see. They couldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They said, here's what I believe, and I'm not listening to anybody else. This is what I believe. And they missed out. In John chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said this, if I do not do the works of my Father, in other words, if I don't represent Him, if I don't do what He says, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. You know, there's a lot of people who will say things like, I believe in the Lord, I follow the Lord, I love the Lord, I hear from the Lord. But you know what I do? I look at their life. Because anyone can say that. But when you look at the life and you see somebody who's always fearful, someone who's always concerned, someone who's always making bad decisions, someone who's always negative, someone who's always critical, when you see that, you go, that person doesn't hear the Lord. I don't know who they're hearing, but it's not the Lord. It's their own version. It's their own interpretation. It's something they've got in their own mind, but it's not the Lord because the Lord transforms. God's word transforms. I think the reason that Jesus did so many miracles is because it's hard to believe it when a man shows up claiming equality with God. I mean, let's just put ourselves in that place. We have hindsight, but just imagine today He's not come. And today someone shows up. I mean, he's a great kid. I mean, perfect. There were some murmurs about his birth, all this stuff. But now he comes and says things like, he's equal with God. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. What He says, I do. When I do it, it's because He said it. It's the same thing. You cannot come to the Father but by me. I am the door. You know, if someone comes and says that to you about themselves, we get a little skeptical, and we should. So Jesus is in this environment. He's coming to a people personally, and that's their experience. See, we're well far removed from that, looking back by faith. We don't have a man standing here. Nor would we want to. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. I'm this man here. But Jesus had to deal with this. And so all of these miracles, all of these things that He had done, these were signs for that generation, for that group, in abundance to show them, look at the signs. It is as you say, I am who you claim I am claiming to be. I am. He needed to do these things. Think about Moses. You talk about a man who has to lead a bunch of people who have to believe in him. Moses was sent to the people, and Moses went to the people. Now, can you imagine the people who were in captivity at that time numbered around 2.5 million? That's about the size of the city of San Antonio. Can you imagine raising one voice, you, one voice, coming from out of town, from Bernie, coming in town, and you say, God has sent me, follow me. I'm here to deliver you. You know, something like that. Follow me. You're like, you're crazy. I'm following you. Who are you? You're not even among us. You're not even one of us. And so God did through Moses all of these signs. First, to show Pharaoh, I'm God. I'm God. He's not, neither his fake gods. So I'm going to show Pharaoh there is a God. But his signs also helped the people, the children of Israel, to acknowledge and to realize and to receive Moses was God's chosen prophet. So when you go, who should we follow? Well, the only one I've seen certain signs through is this Moses. Sadly, it's not long. They're going through the wilderness and they finally go, well, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Let's build a calf and worship that. But God did lots of signs to help the people know this is my prophet. And the same thing happens here for Jesus, a physical man. Yeah, it's a little hard to believe. And you're not going to get him to believe it going, hey, I'm God, Just want you to know I can describe heaven if you want me to. Well, we've got all kind of people who write books about heaven. Half of them aren't correct or accurate, but they were there. So what do? Well, God says, I'm going to authenticate with signs and wonders, miracles. So many, they couldn't all be written down. And so Jesus says, at least look at the signs. If you don't believe my word, and I agree, if it's just me bearing my testimony, don't believe that person, but at least look at the signs. Look what's going on. You know, many believed in him because of the signs, because of the miracles, because of the things he had done. In fact, he confirmed to John the Baptist that he was who he was through the miracles. See, John the Baptist was in prison, and John the Baptist was about to die. And he's thinking, and he's going, wow, you know, this is my life. And he sends out some of his own disciples and says, go ask him, go verify, are you the one? Or are we supposed to wait for another? Just a little doubt, not much, but when your life's on the line, it changes things. You really start to consider. And so his disciples go, and Jesus didn't go, yes, I am. You tell John that is, and you tell him believe because I said so. Jesus didn't say that. You know what Jesus said to him? Look at the sign. Tell John what you see. Take that back to John. The blind see, the deaf hear. Look at the signs. Look around you. So God did all these miracles to make sure that not only would they know, but they could pass this information down. And we could know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is the one true God, the one who can save, the only one who can save, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, God still does miracles. He does miracles in places like in Muslim areas. You hear all the time stories, legitimate stories of Muslims sharing their conversion because Jesus visited them in a vision or a dream and told them things only someone who knew them would know, and they get converted. There's stories in Asia of miraculous healings. Just because we aren't the recipient of one, and in our country we're so blessed and wealthy that God doesn't need to do them for us to show us anything, that they're not happening. They're happening all the time. God's still ministering through that. But the greatest miracle we all experience, and that is the transformed life, that we all of a sudden, we see things differently.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Experience things differently. We think differently. Something happens. Everyone's experience is slightly different, but something happens in the life of a genuine believer that they can never deny after that. Something happens. If you've never had that happen, then you need to spend some time with the Lord, and you need to ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. And you say, Jesus, I'm tired of letting you be on the outside. I believe in you, but at a distance. Stay out there. Don't come in here and fix anything. Now I know I need you in here. I need you grabbing the steering wheel. I need you to talk to me when I don't want to be talked to. I need you to guide me in things I don't want to do. And I need you to tell me to stop doing the things that I want to keep doing. I need you to be Lord. Until you do that business with Him, He will politely let you go to hell. Because He's given you everything. And you don't get saved because He forces His way into your life. You don't get saved that way, because there's no faith involved. It is by grace through faith. And therefore, there's always, He's there. He's there. He's pressing in. He's letting you know. He's speaking. But there's one step that needs to be made on your part, and that is letting Him. He'll do all the rest of the work. But putting your faith in Him gives a transformation, a transaction that takes place that you can never deny. Sometimes you weep, cry, and feel this overwhelming emotion. Maybe you're a person who didn't love a whole lot before, and all of a sudden there's this overwhelming love in your heart, and you're crying, I don't even know why. That's the experience. Don't ever forget it. or God does something in your life and you go to the old places, you go back home, man, I know I shouldn't, but I'm gonna go with my friends. I just can't resist my cousin or my brother. And so you go and all of a sudden there's this weird conviction you didn't have before. Like, man, I'm uncomfortable here. I don't like it here. Where are these thoughts coming from? Don't forget it. The Lord is alive in you. And He's going to be doing a work in you. He's promised. Be faithful to do that. These things happen. If this is something you have no clue about in your own life, you understand it in theory, but you've never experienced it personally, I wouldn't find any security in that. Because those who God loves, He disciplines. And those who God fills, He chastens, He directs. And if you don't experience that, I would very seriously consider what my relationship with the Lord really is. But don't wait too long in all that considering. Life is brief. And there's an enemy. The closer you get to the Lord, the more He wants to destroy you. He wants to take your life. It'll be amazing the thoughts you start to think when you press in and get close enough to the Lord. You're right there on the verge. It's amazing. It's just crazy stuff you haven't thought of in years or thought about ever. And they start coming into your heart and your mind. Man, what is that coming into my mind for? Because we have a real spiritual battle. So remember that too when that happens. You heard about it first right here. So don't be surprised, as the scripture says, over the fiery trial that takes you, because Jesus is real. And the signs are evidence. So believe because of what Jesus has done. In verse 37, "And the Father Himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard His voice." And he's talking to these religious leaders. "You guys have never heard His voice at any time, nor seen His form." You haven't seen Him physically. "But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, Him you do not believe." He's saying this: you guys have had His word. You guys say you abide in His word, but His word isn't in you. I don't know what's in you, but He Himself is standing before you, the one He sent, and you're not receiving Him. Therefore, whatever it is you believe, it's not accurate, not right. You're not listening. And what shows that it's obvious that you're not right is you're not listening. So, another reason we should believe, because of what God has decreed. Now, Jesus says you haven't heard Him audibly, you haven't seen Him visibly, talking to this group. But there were some who God did speak to, and they heard, and their testimony was significant. There were times where God the Father spoke from heaven and said something that people heard, and it was written down for us to read in the scriptures. One was at Jesus' baptism. At Jesus' baptism, you remember that when Jesus was baptized, it was unlike anyone else. When He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Any questions?" No, He didn't add that part. But that was for these guys. And there was testimony from people that said, "Wow. And this was a different baptism." A second time was when Jesus went up to the mountain and there were three of His disciples with Him. They were up there trying to figure things out. They were in awe that Jesus is transfigured and it looks like Moses and Elijah are there. And they're like, "Wow, this is really, it's just really cool to be here." And so they're in that stunned state, but they hear this voice kind of shake them out of this. And God from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." Like, you're supposed to listen to Him. And so God spoke, the Father spoke from heaven, giving validation to who Jesus was. This stuff got out, you know. I mean, Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded the baptism moment in their Gospels. So this was significant. So Jesus says, "Oh, I call another witness to you, the Father. He has declared it too. He has said it." Now you guys haven't heard, you've studied the scriptures, but obviously you don't understand them or you're not studying them properly because you're missing the one they all point to, like right here, me. And they missed Him. So having the personal witness of those who had heard the Father bearing witness that the Son was certainly the Son of God was a strong case against those who said, "I love God, but don't believe in Jesus." And here was their problem. They studied the scriptures. That's not the problem. The problem is that they studied the scriptures for the wrong reasons. They studied the scriptures for knowledge and rules. They constantly studied the scripture. They could tell you the regulations. If the Bible were a regulation book, they owned it. So they could tell you all the do's, don'ts, and they had added tons of other ones that weren't even in God's word, the scriptures. So they could tell you all the do's and don'ts, and they could also, they had knowledge.
Rabbi so-and-so said, and in the scriptures, and the Isaiah the prophet said,
and they knew all of that stuff. So they sounded like they were scholars. But the problem was, they studied for knowledge, they studied for rules, and they missed the one that all of that pointed to. See, all of that was not to be studied academically. It was supposed to be studied relationally. Getting to know who Jesus is. Who is he? Who are we to look for? Where are we going to find him? Where's he going to be born? All of this stuff, they should have known. They could have gone, that's him. There could be no other. It's you. The signs, where you were born, what you did, everything. It's you. There can be no one else, but they missed it because they were studying the wrong way. Like the individual who studies and they take, here's what I believe. Let me look in the scriptures to prove it. If you skip a bunch of scriptures and just find the ones you want, you can find lots of them and go, see, what I believe is true. You can take half the Bible and prove what you think is right. You just have to throw out the other half. So it's no problem to say, here's what I believe and here's all the scriptures to prove it. That's a dangerous way to try to prove something. What we need to do is let what we believe come from the scriptures, not let the scriptures validate what I have kind of come to believe. Because in there, you're going to have to do something they didn't do. And that is when a scripture goes against or challenges what you believe, you have to hold on a little looser to what you're holding on to. Maybe you're not completely right when it's in the Bible. It keeps us balanced in the scriptures, because some love to hold on to one phrase, one scripture, one word, and run with it, and think they've got God figured out. And then you have another group that says, well, we're going to go the total opposite direction. And then Christians are warring and fighting with each other about things we really don't understand completely. So they studied the wrong way. And look what Jesus says about them. Verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? In other words, you say you believe Moses and his writings, but he wrote about me. But because of the way you read the scriptures and study them, you only look for the laws and you miss the Lord. And because of that, when I come and I represent the Lord as the Lord, you missed me. You didn't see. You didn't get it. And you have no love in your hearts. You know why? Because you have law in your hearts. It's all about do this, don't do this for you. Do this, don't do this. If you do this, then you're good. And if you don't do this, then it's all about the law. But the heart of God is a heart of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, I am here. And I'm here standing right before you. And I'm not here to smite you or judge you. I am here. I want you saved. So believe in him, number four, because of what Scripture discloses. What Scripture discloses.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other Gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website. buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.